Let's stand together as we read Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 30. Paul writes and he says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness? Why is this? Because they," that is Israel, "sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I," that is the Lord, "lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him," this is why we know the rock is a person, "whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Thank you. You may be seated. In Paul's day, there were a small number of Jews who came to faith in Jesus Christ. But there were a rapidly growing number of Gentiles. Now, this shocked the Jews to whom Paul wrote. Why was this? Why were so many Gentiles, an innumerable company of people from around the world, coming to faith in Christ, and only a few Jews, a remnant, if you will, of the Jewish people? Paul answers this question in our text when he says that Jesus Christ has become a stumbling block to the Jews. He is a rock which offends. The Gentiles have found him to be their deliverance, but the Jewish people stumble over Jesus. I want to take this passage, which we have just read, and I want us to see three simple things from it. Number one, according to Paul, there is no relationship with God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I know that for many of you, that is a simple statement. And in fact, in your heart, you might say amen to that statement. You embrace it, and you believe that there is no relationship with God apart from faith in Christ, just as Paul wrote. But let me caution you. In our day, that is a belief that will cause you a great deal of conflict with others. In other words, if you want to make some enemies very quickly, make that statement. Because though you and I might affirm it, and you and I, like the authors of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the authors of the epistles, like James and Peter and Paul, and like Jesus himself, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Unlike those and us here this morning, there are many who don't believe that, and they are greatly offended if you say it. For instance, I was in Australia just a few weeks ago, and while in Sydney, I came across an article in the Sydney Morning Herald describing the installation of a pastor by the name of Philip Jensen as the highest pastor in authority in the Anglican Church of Sydney. They were installing him as the Anglican dean. Now, Anglicans, throughout their history, have been Orthodox Christians. In fact, in the 1800s, Anglicans like Augustus Toplady, author of the great hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee," was best friends with John Gill, the pastor of the church in London, England, that Charles Spurgeon became pastor of, the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle. Baptists and Anglicans have been kissing cousins, if you will, for hundreds of years. Evangelicals who've loved Christ and His Word. Philip Jensen gave a wonderful, wonderful speech when he was installed. I read it in the paper. I thought, wow, what a great guy. Listen to what he said. And then listen to what happened after he said it. I quote, Dr. Jensen said, "There are many lovely, wonderful Hindus, Muslims, Jews, and atheists in our city of Sydney. Good citizens who have every right to expect to have all the same rights and responsibilities as citizens as anybody else." More power to Dr. Jensen. Preach on, brother. I believe people in this country and in Australia ought to have the freedom to worship as they please. But listen to what he says next, which I wholeheartedly affirm that got him in trouble. "But their different religions cannot all be right. Some or all of them are wrong. And if wrong, they are the monstrous lies and deceits of Satan, devised to destroy the life of their believers, to capture them into the cosmic rebellion against God, and to destroy the freedom they should have in Christ. Christians in Sydney are being pressured to preach at best a muted message of Christianity, certainly not one that will ever deny falsehood." That took some guts. In fact, the religious editor of the Sydney Morning Herald, after he heard this, wrote that he felt the speech would inflame religious intolerance. Now, I don't understand that when Dr. Jensen himself just said he wanted everybody to have the same rights as everybody else. But yet, the editor of this newspaper said he was an intolerant person. When confronted about his speech and whether or not it was intolerant, Dr. Jensen said, "Oh, no. All I'm saying is this. Both Christianity and Islam cannot be right. That's not attacking Islam. That's just saying the truth." They interviewed other religious leaders in Australia and quoted what they had to say. And I'll use one, and I quote, "He," that is Dr. Jensen, "is totally out of tune in today's era of reconciliation between different religions. It is quite upsetting to hear a view like his expressed by such a prominent churchman." You see, when you make the statement that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, you are teaching what is commonly known as the exclusivity of Christ. You are saying, like Christ Himself said, there is no other way to God except through faith in Him. My good friend, Dr. Al Mohler, who is the president of Southern Seminary, the mother seminary of Southern Baptist, was on the Phil Donahue show last December 22nd, 2002. And on this show, Dr. Mohler was attacked for his faith in the exclusivity of Christ. In fact, a Jewish rabbi at the beginning of the show called Dr. Mohler a spiritual racist. And it was because Al quoted the same verse that we just quoted, where Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." Another guest on the show, President Joseph Huff, president of Union Theological Seminary, took Dr. Mohler to task, saying to him, "The basic problem of people like Dr. Mohler is that his God, their God, is too small. In fact, God could even be a she, and they don't recognize it." He goes on to say, "I'm passionately Christian, and I believe in Jesus, but I would be the last person to be so arrogant as to assert that my God has little imagination, that she or he could not reach out to other people in other cultures in other ways through different religions. Phil Donahue said, "You speak for me." Dr. Moeller tried to bring the panel back around and said, "But wait, you're attacking me. But all I'm doing is representing the historical belief of the Christian church. We have constantly taught that salvation is found in Christ alone. That is the good news, the message of the church of Jesus Christ. And if you attack me, you're attacking the church. This is what Christianity has represented throughout the centuries." And then Dr. Moeller went on to say, "Liberal Protestants like Dr. Hoff have moved away from the doctrine of biblical authority." Hoff interrupted and said, "That's not true." Then Dr. Moeller posed to him a question. "Do you believe that Jesus said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me'?" Dr. Hoff responded, "I don't know whether Jesus said that or whether John just wrote it." Dr. Moeller said, "But do you agree that it is in the written word?" Dr. Hoff said, "Don't you know about historical criticism?" He went on to say, "Dr. Moeller, you should read up a little bit on historical criticism. If you did, you would know that this book, John, was written in the second century and Jesus didn't say what John attributes Jesus to have said." Dr. Moeller then said to the liberal Dr. Hoff, "You take the Jesus of your scholarly imagination. I'll take the Jesus of the gospel." We're living in a day where the exclusivity of Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation is attacked, and greatly attacked, by people who see us who have trusted in Christ alone as bigots and racists. I would say, in my humble opinion, that if you really want this world to be changed for the good, you take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations and watch God save the hearts of millions. For you see, when Jesus indwells the heart of a sinner, that sinner will not kill his enemies. That sinner will love his enemies. And one of the things that we need to recognize is we are the ones who have the message that will change the hearts of the people of this world. And we ought not be ashamed of preaching Christ and Him alone. It's interesting to me that in this text, when Paul quotes from Isaiah, when he speaks of Christ being a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, some of you are thinking to yourself, well, you know, the reason people are offended with us is because we can talk about God and they'll accept it. But what they're struggling with is this idea of Jesus Christ. I mean, Pastor, now come on, just admit it. If we talk about God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, other religions won't be upset with us. But if we talk about Jesus Christ, that's when they get upset. Yeah, I'll admit that. But you know what you've lost sight of? When Paul quotes from Isaiah, listen to this verse that he's quoting from. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear." Do you see the phrase there, the Lord of hosts? That's the favorite name of the Jews for God. Set apart God himself. Let him be your fear, Isaiah says. And he, that is God, shall be for you a sanctuary. And he, that is God, shall be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to Israel. Whoa. Do you see what Paul is doing? Jesus Christ is God. And you cannot come to God apart from Jesus Christ. because He is God in the flesh. And even the prophet of Israel, in the olden days, he saw that God Himself would become a stumbling stone, that Jesus Christ would become a rock of offense. You say, well, why is that? Why do people get offended with Christ? Well, Paul tells us in our text. He tells us that there is no righteousness before God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. And this really upsets people. You see, every other religion wants to think that they're as good as Christianity. But the way that they measure good is by the works that they do. And they think that Christians measure goodness by the works that we do. They totally misunderstand Christianity. Christianity is not about what we do, not about what we commit, not about what we say, not about what we religiously do as far as activity is concerned. Christianity is about a cross and a person upon whom we place our trust. This is how I know this to be true. In Old Testament Israel, God gave the people there a sacrificial system. You see, one of the problems Israel had was this deep consciousness of guilt and of their own sin. And when it came time for them to approach God, they couldn't, they wouldn't, because they were fearful. They rightly knew that the wages of sin is death. They rightly understood the holiness of God. They knew within their own hearts that they had violated, they had transgressed God's law, and they were afraid. And so when God called to them, listen to what they said to Moses. The people said unto Moses, Moses, you go for us. You speak for us. We don't want to talk to God. We will hear from you. You tell us what God says. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Exodus 20. Knowing the sin and guilt in the hearts of Israel, God gave to Israel a sacrificial system. A system through which Israel could be convinced that their sins were expiated, that is, obliterated, blocked out, so that they could fellowship with God. How did this system work? Well, basically, in essence, the heads of the family would take a lamb and they would come to the courtyard of the tabernacle in preparation of worship to God. And this lamb would be taken by the father. The family would gather around and the father would come to the priest. The priest would meet them in the courtyard, and the father of the people of Israel, who knew themselves to be sinful and guilty, would lay his hands upon the head of the lamb. Now the word lay there in the Hebrew is a much stronger word. Literally, he would lean upon the lamb to the point of literally bringing the lamb to the ground. And he would confess his sins. The children would confess their sins. Mom would confess her sins. All while the lamb was being leaned upon. And then the father did something. Now this may offend you, but I got to tell you what he did. We read this in the book of Leviticus. He took a knife and he slew the lamb. He killed the lamb. Now, can you imagine what the kids must have thought? Think about this. I mean, I got pets. We got two cats, two dogs. It feels like 40 cats and 40 dogs. And our pets are named after natural disasters. Ice, stormy, thunder. And you know, even though I struggle with our pets, my kids, they love those pets. They absolutely love them. Brent Price has got a chicken running around in his backyard. I mean, his kids love that chicken. Can you imagine how his family would feel if they had fried chicken on Sunday afternoon? Let me tell you, if it's your pet and you love your pet, you do not want to see your pet die. This lamb had been raised by the family, was a year old in the prime of its life. The kids loved this lamb. Can you imagine those kids saying to their dad, "Daddy, Daddy, what are you doing? Dad, what are you doing? You're killing him. What are you doing, Daddy?" Can you imagine Daddy standing up with tears in his eyes? His job was done. The priest came and he took a brass basin and he gathered the blood of the lamb. And can you imagine the daddy as he watched the priest putting his arms around the kids and he says, "Kids, listen to me. We are guilty before God. And the wages of our sin, what we deserve because of our sin, is death, just like this. But God has provided a way whereby we can fellowship with our holy Creator. And the way that He has provided is for an innocent one to die in our stead." You see, a lamb is innocent. An animal's innocent. They're below the table of sin. An innocent lamb has died, kids, and shed His blood in order that we might have fellowship with our God. Scripture teaches us that the people of Israel, through the teachings of Moses, because God gave to them the sacrificial system, the people of Israel, when they leaned their hands upon the sacrifice, do you know what they were doing? They were not trusting in the Lamb. They were looking forward to the coming Messiah. This is how we know that when John the Baptist saw Jesus walking, what did he do? He stopped and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Listen to me. Do you know why there is no other way to salvation apart from Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, identifying with us to be our substitute, bearing the wrath do our sins, so that our sins might be obliterated before a holy God. Amen. Christianity is not about us trying to say to other religions, "Look, we're better than you. I mean, we do things better than you. We sing better, we serve better, we live better." Christianity is not about how a person lives. Christianity is about who do you trust? Do you trust yourself or do you trust Jesus Christ who died in your stead? This is the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. Name another person who died like that. Will you? Who died and rose again for the deliverance of His people? Who offered Himself as the Lamb and the High Priest? Name somebody. Who are you going to name? You see, Christianity is consistent with the revelation of God's Word that sinners need a substitute, and God Himself has provided it. Islam teaches you to give your son to die for God. Christianity teaches you that God gave His son to die for you. You can't have it both ways. The Jews in Paul's day were very disturbed because they had lost sight of what the sacrifices represented. Instead of looking forward to the coming of the Lamb, they began to trust in the process. Now, before we get on the Jews too much, that's just like Baptist. We start trusting in walking the aisle. We start trusting in the prayers that we pray. We start trusting in our baptism or our church attendance. We start trusting in what we do as far as religion is concerned. Oh, don't ever go that route. Oh, my friend, the Bible says to us in our text that he who puts his trust on Him shall never be ashamed. Jesus Christ is either a rock of offense or a rock of deliverance. Finally, I want to show you that there is no reward from God apart from faith in Christ. The Jews sought to be righteous before God by their religious activity. The Jews sought to obtain their right standing with God because of what they did. And they had forgotten this beautiful passage in Isaiah 53, verse 10, which speaks of Jesus Christ and what He has done for sinners. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And it pleased the Lord to bruise Him in order that you and I might be delivered. You see, the Jews followed after the law of righteousness, but they did not attain to it because they sought it not by faith. The Jews fell into the trap that most religious people fall into. It's not about our works and our activity. It is all about our faith in Him. Oh, this is so hard for people to understand. In the Old Testament, the priests had to wear linen in order that they would not sweat. It is a picture that when a person comes to lean upon Jesus Christ, he renounces all trust in what he does and will not sweat through personal performance, but will by faith cast his soul on the rock that delivers. That's good news to me. Because if you're like me, I'm not a real good performer. You say, Pastor, if I believe that kind of gospel, that kind of good news, I'd be too free. Ah, now we're getting somewhere. What did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Where's your trust? Where's your trust? Jesus Christ became a stumbling stone to the religious because they wanted to trust in themselves. But whoever leans upon Him and places their trust in Him, whoever does that, they shall never be ashamed.